Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
And then last week we started, we're going to jump right back into this. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What a statement from Jesus. Because if you live long enough, church, you're going to come into some seasons where you are faced with hard things and heavy things. Times where when you show up on Wednesday night, you can barely put one foot in front of the other, but you just say, I got to get not to church. I need to get to Jesus. I need to get to his presence. Matthew 11:30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Two verses before, Jesus makes the invitation, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I want to encourage someone tonight that God is still in the business of inviting us into restful places. But rest does not mean inactivity, immobility. It doesn't mean always that we're sleeping. Rest can look like worship, prayer, devotion, serving. Rest in the Greek comes from the word anapao. It means to refresh, to rejuvenate, to reinvigorate, to revitalize. To refresh means to give new strength. Can I encourage you tonight? God is not recycling, but God is giving new strength. God is giving, for those that are ready to step into it, God is giving you strength that you've never had before. And if you have strength you've never had before, it means you can do things you've never done before. And if God is calling us to rest, could it be that God is saying, I need you to come close and rest in me because I'm going to give you strength that is directly connected to the calling that I have placed on your life. If you have ever felt like what God has placed on me and in me is too big, it's too difficult for me to do, can I just tell you, it is too big for you to do. It's too big for me to do. That's why Jesus says, come and let me give you rest and give you the strength to do what I've called you to do. To rejuvenate means to give you new energy. How many of you wish you had that energy you had when you were 20 years old? We had energy and no sense. Now we've got sense and no energy. I always have big plans. I stay here late sometimes and work, and I always have big plans. Me and a friend of mine, we call it the night shift. The night shift starts at 10 p.m. at my house, because Mandy's in bed usually by 9. My house gets quiet. I get a lot of work done at 10, but the older I get, if I don't go straight to my desk and start working, if I sit down in that recliner, it is over. That energy that I had no longer seems there. Rest means to rejuvenate in the Greek. That means to give new intensity. I've heard people say, don't take life so serious. But I've learned that I wish I had taken life a lot more serious sooner. I wish I had become serious about the things of God like I am now when I was 22. That's why I think Joel chapter 2 is such an incredible prophecy, because Joel prophesied under the direction of the Holy Spirit. He said, there is a time coming, he said, when the former rain and the latter rain will come together and will give you a great deluge. It will be more than enough. He said, your young men will dream dreams. Your old men will see vision. What is he talking about? He said, the energy of the youth, praise God, and the wisdom of the old generation will come together and accomplish great things. And then to revitalize, to give new life. Man, resurrection life. It is amazing how rest can totally change your outlook. It is amazing how something can be so burdensome to your spirit at 11:30 p.m., but you sleep and wake up at 6:30 a.m. and you suddenly feel better about the situation and nothing has changed other than you've had rest. Can I encourage you? Sometimes your situation is not going to change until you learn to rest. And when you learn to rest, you're going to refocus, refresh, rejuvenate, reinvigorate, and revitalize. Matthew 11:25, to give us some context. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and you revealed them unto the babes. We see Jesus communicating with the Father. We see the joy in the relationship. Rest is born in relationship. Jesus said, you have answered. And at this time, Jesus answered, meaning this, that there is a dialogue between Jesus and the Father. Can I encourage you that the greatest rest will happen as a result of the relationship that you have with Christ? The stronger your relationship, the better the rest. The closer you walk with God, I said it last week, with all the calamity in this world and the world's going crazy and the political system and the socioeconomic system, everything is in a state of upheaval. And people have literally asked, do you sleep? How do you sleep at night? And I tell them, 68 degrees with two fans on, praise God. I know that there is nothing I can do but pray and be what God has called me to be for my generation. All that happens in rest. Rest is born in that relationship. I know that this world has problems, but I am in great relationship with the problem solver, with the answer named Jesus. Matthew 8, verse 23 through 27 tells us about the storm, that all of the disciples were fearful, and Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat, and they woke him up, which tells us that Jesus was resting in the middle of the storm. Big faith leads to big rest. If you have big faith, you're not going to have anxiety. You're not going to be going crazy like the world goes. Matthew 26, and Jesus went a little further. This is the story of Gethsemane. And he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Not my will, but your will be done." Here is what rest is. Rest is abandoning our will and embracing the Father's will. Some of us are not experiencing rest because it is all about what we want. And we're trying to do it on our terms. And we're inviting God in bits and pieces and corners of our heart and corners of our life. And God, I want you to be the Lord of my money, but the relationship, that's up to me. God, I don't want you picking my college and my career, but I do want you to heal my body. Listen, he is either Lord of all or Lord not at all. And so rest is us abandoning our will and embracing the Father's will. Let's go to Matthew 11, 25. "Because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes." Jesus reveals that the Father has chosen the most unlikely, seen by the world as babies, not knowing, ignorant, unlearned. And he said, to these people that everyone else has discounted, I have revealed something. The Father has revealed something through me that has been received and responded to, which is the message of the kingdom of God. This is seen in a larger context when you realize that most of the Jews and the crowds that were gathering around Jesus had already started rejecting his message, because they were rejecting the messenger that was Christ. Because Jesus in these moments was saying crazy things like, "Your sins are forgiven." And they begin to turn his message off because in their mind he was a good teacher. In their mind he was a rabbi, but he was not God. He was not the Son of God. And so when Jesus says, "I can forgive sins," they turned him off. And every smart and intellectual person said, "He is a fake and a phony." But the people that didn't know enough about the world embraced Jesus. Can I encourage you, if I'm going to choose about what I'm going to be dumb and ignorant to, I want to be dumb to the things of this world, and I want to embrace, even if it takes a childlike faith, embrace Jesus. Matthew 11, 27. "All things are delivered unto me of my Father." This is what Jesus said. "And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son." Check this last phrase out. "And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Do you know it would be impossible for us to ever know God? And when I say know, not know of him, be in relationship with him, if it wasn't for Jesus revealing the Father to us, praise God, his sons. It is because Jesus came to this world, he gave us a lifeline and a link to the Father. That means when you pray, the reason you and I are heard is because of what Jesus did for us. It is because we stand, not because everything is right, but because Jesus was right, gave us his righteousness so we could stand before Jesus. Somebody say amen. Jesus declares, "Everything that I have came from the Father." Check this out, church. The only thing we should give is that which came from the Father. You've heard me say this before. Don't give people a piece of your mind. unless your mind is the mind of Christ. Don't give them something out of you. Give them something that came from God. Freely I have received, now freely I give. If I'm going to give it to somebody, I better make sure it came from heaven and came from God. The only thing of value that we have to give is not what we think is valuable, but that which came from the Father. And then here we go in verse 28. Jesus makes the invitation. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That's important. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The invitation is this. Come unto me, those that labor and are heavy laden. Every invitation leads to a choice. Have you ever been invited to a party that you didn't go to? Most of them. You ever been invited to lunch that you didn't go to? Most of them. Have you ever been invited to a conference or to a bit something where a lot of people that you made the choice? Once the inviter has made the invitation, the decision is now up to the invitee. That would be you and I. Meaning if you are tired and what you are carrying is heavy, I'm talking to somebody. If you are carrying it all by yourself and you feel like you are all alone, if you are in that situation today as a believer, that is your choice to stay that way. Well, I'm waiting on Jesus. What are you waiting for? He already said, come unto me. Bring all of your mess. Bring the heaviness. Bring the things of this world. Bring the things that weigh you down. Bring the things that keep you up at night. Bring the things that cause the tears. Bring the things that messed up the relationship. Bring the addictions. Bring the struggle. Bring it all to me. So if you and I know Jesus and we're still carrying something heavy by ourselves, it is our choice. Nobody wants to preach that anymore. Everybody wants to be a victim. Everybody wants to talk about past traumas. Everybody wants to talk about what happened when they were 5 or 10. And I'm not naive to the pain that you went through. But you can either cry about that for the rest of your life. You can keep that wound fresh for the rest of your life. Or you can say, Jesus, I'm going to take you up on what you're saying. If you are offering me rest, if you are offering me help to shoulder and carry this, God, I gladly come to you. I gladly come to you. It's an invitation. I'm always shocked, church, when someone makes bad choices, terrible decisions, creates unnecessary waves and storms in their life, and then they want to cry victim in a mess that they created. But that's just me looking through very carnal eyes at a situation. However, let me tell you about how good Jesus is. He rescues us from storms that we stirred up. He heals us from self-inflicted wounds. He will bring peace into drama and chaos that we created. Can I tell you how good God is? When he shows up and you are hurting, he doesn't have to ask who hurt you and where it came from. He just begins to heal. He begins to relieve and alleviate everything that we are going through. That's how good God is. And that is what it means when we say he loves us with an unconditional love. Now let me just bold this after saying that. You do realize that there are consequences for your decision. That you can't just keep going back to that vomit as a dog. Come on now. You can't keep going back to that thing over and over and over again. You can only call it a mistake one time. After that, it is a bad decision. You are choosing that lifestyle. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Verse 28, he says, come unto me. Jesus shows his authority when he says, come unto me. This invitation is unthinkable in the mouth of anyone else but God. And woe to the man who called people to themselves instead of Jesus. Woe to the pastors that are building personal kingdoms instead of the kingdom, capital K. Woe unto pastors that are crowning themselves as kings, little k, when we are to serve, amen, and build the kingdom of the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. So when Jesus said, come unto me, what he is declaring is I am the only one you can come to and get the guarantee that I am offering you, that I'm offering you. Come unto me, this invitation. Jesus says, come. He drives none away. All are welcome. He calls them to himself. I love this. And we're getting ready to preach about this on Sunday in our series on great. But before Jesus gives the great commission, before Jesus says, go to the world, he says, come unto me. Listen to that, church. Before he sends you to do the greatest command that has ever been given, go to the world and preach, teach, cast out devils, heal the sick, baptize in the name of, before you do any of that, before you can go, I need you to come unto me. See, some of us are trying to go before we've come to Jesus. Bishop said it best on social media this past week. And let me just encourage you, if you don't follow him on Facebook, follow him on Facebook. Because while you and I are sleeping, he is up posting. I get up and he's posted 14 posts. From 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. But I love what he said the other day. He said, the problem with a lot of churches is that we're trying to disciple the unsaved. We're trying to tell them go and they've never come to Jesus. And so I want to encourage you, stop trying to do what he's called you to do until you have come to Jesus, and let him take all of that old stuff out of you and off of you and freed you so that you know what it's like to live free, so that you can fulfill what he's called you to fulfill. The great Charles Spurgeon says this, to Jesus himself we must come by personal trust. We don't come to a doctrine, to an ordinance, to ministry, but first we come to a personal Savior. At Living Way we make it personal. We don't have you check a card if you want to get saved. We have you come to an altar. We lead you in the prayer of repentance. We lead you in the prayer of confession that you are not enough, praise God. I'm so sick and tired of this generation that wants to tell our young people, you are enough, just look in the mirror. You are not enough. We are filthy, praise God. We are lost without Jesus. We are broken without him. You and I are not enough until we come to Jesus. Verse 28, all you who labor and are heavy laden, this blessed me. Jesus directed his call to those who were burdened. He called those who sensed they must come to him to relieve their need instead of living in self-sufficiently. Church, we cannot do it on our own. You know how I know we cannot do it on our own? Because we would if we could. If we could do it on our own, if we could heal ourselves, we wouldn't have to go to a doctor. If we could heal our mind, we wouldn't have to go to a psychologist or a therapist. If we could heal our marriage, we wouldn't be on the third or fourth one. If we knew what to do with our money, we would all be billionaires. We cannot do it on our own. Remember this, if it wasn't for Jesus, we wouldn't live through the night. If it wasn't for Jesus, we wouldn't have the intellect to be able to put on our shoes, tie them, or even put the Velcro flap over. If we could, we would. I love this. When he says, all those who are labor and heavy laden, labor implies burdens that we take upon ourselves. But heavy laden implies the burdens other people put on us. Here's my question. Heaviness is heavy, whether you're putting it on yourself or someone else is putting it on you. But here's the thing about whether it's you or someone else, or whether it's me or someone else. They're both my choice. Because I'm either putting it on myself and taking weight that God never called me to carry, or I'm spending time with people that I have no business spending with because they keep making life heavy instead of making life lighter. Remember, you choose the life you want to live. Well, Pastor, you don't know the family I was born into. I don't know the family you were born into, but I know the family you stayed with. And please let me just remind you, when I say stay with, I'm talking about when you turn 18. I'm not talking about disrespect. I'm not talking about all of that. I'm talking about you can remove yourself and you can love them from afar. You can minister to them, but you don't have to be like them, and you don't have to let that family line keep doing what it's been doing the last three or four generations. You are a new creation in Jesus Christ, and if you are with Christ, if you are close to Christ, if you have come to Christ, that's not you anymore. It's been a little while since I talked about generational curses. There is no such thing as generational curses after you come to Jesus. Well, generational curses are going to stop with me. They're not going to stop with you. They stop with him. And when you and I came to him, generational curses stopped. Don't get a cultural pattern mixed up with a generational curse. Because for you to say a generational curse exists after you got saved is to say the blood of Jesus was not enough. And if the blood of Jesus was not enough then, it's not going to be enough now. But that generational curse died on the cross with Christ. And when you said yes to him, you said no to the devil, praise God. And I'll get emails this week. I just don't believe that, Pastor. Well, then just keep being cursed, praise God. I'm living under the blessed life. Heavy laden suggests the same thought as described in Matthew 23:4, where Jesus spoke against the religious leaders of his day. For they bind heavy burdens and that are too grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders. Woe unto pastors that overdrive the sheep and unnecessarily put weight on them that God never designed for them to carry. It is not my job to weigh you down. It is my job to point you to Christ so that Christ can give you rest. Living Way is not a place of rest unless we continually uplift the name of Jesus. No ministry at Living Way can help you unless we continue to be Christ-centric in this church. Not seeker-sensitive, but Holy Spirit-sensitive, saying, God, what do you want to do this season of Living Way? God, what do you want said? Lead us in every aspect. He said, woe unto you. They lay on men's shoulders things that they would not themselves move with their fingers. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Man, this is one verse that's never quoted with verse 30. We quote verse 28, we quote verse 30, but 29, Jesus says, hey, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Jesus makes this wonderful offer, church. He invites us to take his yoke and to learn from him. We must come as disciples to learn and being willing to be guided by his yoke. It's not just about receiving something. It's about learning something. Too many of us, we've made Jesus into Santa Claus. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Bless me, bless me, bless me. Favor, favor, favor. And I'm for all of that. But sometimes it's better to learn something than to receive something. That's why the old adage, it's better to teach a man how to fish than to give him a fish. Because you give him a fish, you feed him for a day. You teach him to fish, you feed him for his life. There's a lot of us that have received the goodness of God, and we keep coming back to God for that same goodness. But remember, God says, I want to overflow your cup, praise God. The benefits of God were loaded on me daily, the psalmist David said. I want to encourage you, when you come to Jesus, don't just come to receive something, come to learn something. And a lot of us are wanting to receive rest instead of learning how to rest. See, when I come to Jesus, when you come to Jesus, we learn how to rest in the back of a boat in the middle of a hurricane. We learn to rest while the court issue is going on, or while the medical issue is going on, or when our BFF stabs us in the back or the front and leaves our life. We learn how to rest with all of that going on. We learn to rest in the... That's why David would say, when I make my bed in hell, God is still with... He said, I can rest in hell. Why can I rest? Because God is with me, and he gives me rest. Somebody say rest. Jesus makes this offer for us to not only receive something, but to learn something. Give me just two more minutes talking about the yoke. Bible history tells us that the ancient Jews commonly used the idea of yoke to express someone's obligation to God. And when you read and study this out, they had so many yokes that they talked about: the yoke of the kingdom, yoke of the law, yoke of command, yoke of repentance, yoke of faith, and the general yoke of God. But in this context, it is so awesome to see what Jesus says, because he knows he is talking to lifetime Jews that have heard these yoke concepts from the times they were young. But in this statement, Jesus simplifies it, and he says this: forget about every yoke you've ever known and take my yoke. Take my yoke upon you. It's better than every yoke you will ever carry. Take my yoke and you will learn something. When someone looks at the yoke of Jesus from a distance, it is easy to get all the wrong ideas. But what if we just listen to what Jesus said? Take my yoke upon you. We would take it and see what kind of yoke it really is. Four things really quickly. The yoke of Jesus is easy and light compared with the yoke of others. The yoke of Jesus is easy and light as long as we do not rebel against it. The yoke of Jesus has nothing to do with worries that are forbidden to us. And finally, the yoke of Jesus does not include the burdens that we choose to add to it. Verse 29, for I am gentle, this is Jesus, I am lowly in heart. Jesus reveals his nature as the one with a servant's heart, making him the only qualified one who can bear our burdens. Verse 29, a promise, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus described his gift to his followers as rest for their weary souls. This unmatchable gift should be considered the birthright of those who have come to Jesus, those that are his followers and disciples. There is something wrong if they don't experience, as followers of Jesus Christ, rest for your souls. Man, when I was writing this out and praying about this, this jumped in my spirit. One of the greatest benefits of a relationship with Christ is the ability to rest. It's not the big bank accounts only. It's not the great things that God is going to use you to do, all of that, whatever. But the fact that now that I know Jesus, I can rest. I'm not running anymore, I'm resting. I'm not fearful because of this world. I'm resting. Stand to your feet. I've shared a lot about my medical, just all the things God's done in me. I believe God has healed a lot of physical things in me, but I believe the greatest thing that he healed in me was personal discipline. And just giving me a motivation to do what is right at all times. But one of the things I haven't talked to you about much is the severe sleep apnea that I've dealt with for the last 10 or 12 years. I didn't sleep in a bed for probably 5 years. I slept in a recliner, sitting up. Because when I would lay flat and go to sleep, I would wake up literally gasping for air. Finally went and had a sleep study, recommended by my dentist. My sleeping had gotten so bad, my dentist said, I can tell by your mouth and the back of your throat that you're having some tremendous issues when you sleep. So I had a sleep study. The best sleep doctor in town, he said, I have given thousands of sleep studies. He said, you are the worst I've ever seen in my life. He said, the test we ran on you overnight, he said, do you know that you did not sleep for more than 3 minutes at a time? He said, you had 20 episodes where you quit breathing for at least 90 seconds. And he said, what's crazy is, he said, if I offered you $1 million right now to hold your breath for 90 seconds, you couldn't do it. But when you're asleep, he said the longest was 2.5 minutes with zero oxygen. He said, that's why you wake up. And can I tell you that in the last 6, 8, 10 months, I have finally been able to rest. Let me tell you what rest has done. Remember we talked about revitalization and fresh energy and new strength? I'm stronger. I'm less weight, less muscle mass, but I'm stronger than I was. I have more energy than I did, all because I learned how to rest. A few months ago, I shipped that sleeping machine back to them, never to have it again in my life. Praise God. Part of the reason I slept in that recliner is because I couldn't breathe laying flat and because I snored all the time. And Mandy's like, babe, you got to do something. I said, I'm asleep. I can't help it. You move. It's bothering you. You move. But I found that rest, it solves so many issues. Could it be, church, the invitation that Jesus has given to you? Well, Jesus, you're asking me to rest and I am fighting the fight of my life and you want me to rest? Yes, he does. Jesus, my marriage is in shambles and you want me to exhale, inhale, and lean into you? That's exactly what he wants. And the devil wants to lie to you and I and say it's not that easy. Oh, it is that easy to come to Jesus and to rest. I end with this. Jesus summarizes this wonderful call and invitation with the assurance that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And the reason he knows it's easy and the burden is light is because Jesus bears it with us. It might be unbearable to you and I alone, but with Jesus, it is easy and light. When they're training a new animal like an ox under the yoke, and we're not talking about an egg yoke, we're talking about the yoke that goes around the animal's neck to pull plows and to farm and to pull chariots and all of these things, they always put a young ox with an old ox because the old ox teaches them how to move, how to carry, how to not stumble, how to not pull a certain way that makes your load heavier than it has to be. And so you know what? You and I are the young ones because Jesus said, hey, you're going to be yoked to me and we're going to carry this thing together. I'm going to show you where to go, how to go, when to go. I'm going to show you, we're going to walk this way, so what is what you're carrying doesn't crush you, praise God. Remember, it's easy, it's light. The word easy in Greek is trestos. It means well-fitting. The yoke was actually made to the animal where it was able to be adjusted to the animal. I leave you with this. Jesus' yoke is easy, not because it makes lighter demands, but because he carries it with us. So as we have the three in this altar tonight, I'm calling on those of you that need rest tonight, but I'm going to give you two things. If your yoke is hard and your burden is heavy tonight, it's one of two things. Either the yoke and burden that you're carrying aren't his yoke, or you're not letting Jesus bear it with you. So I want to encourage you today, let go of the things of this world and embrace the will of the Father. Let me remind you that you don't have to carry it on your own. And when I tell you that we are no judgment here, you don't have to come to this altar and tell us what you are struggling with. You don't have to tell us what you've been battling the last 6 months or 6 years. We just want to invite you and say, all we're here to do is make that introduction, you and Jesus. Jesus is about to trade out your yoke for one that is easier and lighter. And it doesn't mean that you don't have to carry a yoke or bear a burden. It just means that you're going to carry that cross, amen. But that Jesus said, hey, I'll help you carry it. As this altar fills, I'm reaching just a little further for those of you that want to make it a little more difficult. And Jesus is saying, you need rest. No, I don't. I need to fight. Sometimes fighting looks like rest. You'll live another day. You can tackle it in the morning. But right now, we just need you to rest. Stop swinging, rest. Stop screaming, rest. You've been fighting it. You've been trying to do it on your own. This is a time where self-sufficiency, it's over. And we become all in on Jesus. Come unto me, those that labor, those that have put weight on themselves and that are heavy laden, those that have allowed others to put weight on them, and I will give you rest. This is your call to rest. If you're in this house tonight and you've never given your life to Jesus, this is your moment to leave your seat and join us in this altar. I am out of time. I'm over time, but this is your moment. We will wait on you. Our altar team in this altar that will pray for you and our pastoral team, they're there to pray whatever you need. You let them know, hey, I'm here to be saved. I need salvation. I'm here to be filled with the Spirit. I'm here to be healed. Or maybe I'm just here for rest. Whatever that need is, this is your moment. If you want to be baptized in water, this is your moment. If you want to be filled gloriously with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, this is your moment. But if you are in this altar with hands uplifted, I want you to just lift up your hands as a sign of surrender, and that I'm letting go of all of the weight that I have put on myself, the weight that others have put on me, and I am embracing Jesus. I'm letting it go, but I'm entering into rest. By you being in this altar, it is a big exhale. You're through running. It's time to rest. Through trying to figure it out on your own, it's time to rest. I know those children have you up late at night because you're worried about them. It's time to rest. Do your part. Let God do His.